Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Secrets of the Sire. We do this every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc, and streaming live on facebook.com/secretsofthesire, youtube.com/secretsofthesire. Just basically type in Secrets of the Sire, and you will get to us. We got a big show tonight. We got Black Panther Oscar chances. Just went up. Punisher Season 2 review. It was brutal. It was bloody, and that was really just me. And Bill Maher doubles down on Stan Lee. I am your host, Michael Dolce, and as always, I am joined by my cohort in crime, Mr. Hassan Godwin, Lord of the Radio. How you doing, sir?
It's really cold outside.
It is. It's finally.
Really cold outside.
Finally. But we are not alone. We're actually just breaking boundaries left and right.
I noticed we weren't by ourselves
sitting here. Well, no, but really, see, it's on camera.
I didn't want to say anything.
On camera, it's just you and I right now. On camera, it's just you and I right now. Until I go, bam! And then, oh my God, we have everybody here. We have like a jam-packed show. All the way next to Hassan. I'm going to have to like point down and to the right. Yeah. Oh, I did it. It's
there
great. Mr. Darren Sanchez.
Hello.
From Marvel Comics fame and also After Hours Press. You've been I think you're the Alec Baldwin or the Tom Hanks of our show now.
This is my third appearance.
I think he
guest hosts.
That's true, actually.
This is very true. Guest host, maybe. Then it was.
This is very true.
So we got to come up with a.
I was drunk the whole time, though. So
I was drunk. That's why I wasn't here.
We're gonna
We could have been hanging out.
We're gonna have to have a battle of the guest co-hosts at some point down the line. And we are joined by Tia and Kelly from Geek Vibes Nation.
Hello, hello.
Welcome.
I'm going to second Hassan and say it's very, very cold out.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're supposed to disagree.
I started it, so they can agree with me.
I'm supposed to agree with her. So actually, now I'm going to say it's really warm.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, so it's a little too warm.
It could be colder.
All right, so we are streaming live. You can actually go to secretsofthesire.com, and right on the right-hand side is the Facebook stream, go to the YouTube stream. What's that? Son of a bee. I'll fix that. Here we go. We are talking Black Panther Oscar nomination chances.
Is that what we're talking about?
Here's the thing that we briefly talked about it last week, because it was kind of like one of those things like, oh, hey, you know, he got nominated. It's an honor to be nominated. And then what ended up happening halfway through is that, oh, hey, they just won a SAG award for Best Ensemble Cast, and that's like the big award. And all of a sudden now their chances of taking home a Best Picture are actually pretty good now. So here's the stats. Although Black Panther wasn't nominated for any individual SAG awards, it took home the final award at the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles. The win puts Black Panther squarely in contention for Best Picture, where it's nominated for 7 honors, including Best Picture. Actors make up a large percentage of the Academy, so their preferences can have an especially large impact on the Oscar race. In the last decade, the SAG Ensemble winner has gone on to win Best Picture at the Academy Awards half the time. So it works 60% of the time every time. Hassan, what are our over? I have no follow up to that lead. What are our over under odds here? What do we got?
Whether Black Panther is going to win an Academy Award for Best Picture, over or under?
Now
I'd say over. Over 50.
Over 50% now?
50%, yeah.
Tokyo.
Wrong
show.
Did you take a toke of something good?
Mm.
Something.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
I'm going to poll the room. What do we got? Over under 50%, 50-50.
I'd say under. I don't know exactly what it's running against, but
it's Roma. It's gonna be that, and probably Roma is gonna take it. But I'd say personally, just the political climate leads me to say over.
But probably over the half the movies on that list are politically motivated. So
I know,
and there's like 6 or 7 of them.
I know, and I would ruin everything by if he, no matter what he asked me, I would say it's all over. They're all over 50.
Okay,
Roma's over 50.
I disagree with Hassan.
Bing, number one. All right, now
I second disagree with Hassan. I'm going to go with under. Okay. In my heart, I would love to say over personally, but I'm going to go with under.
You are not taking or smoking, which is how toking comes into
she's designated driver.
Yeah.
I would have to say I'm kind of in the middle. If it does win, it would be a massive accomplishment. And I
personally have not seen any of the films that are in that category, but it's an action-packed film. It has a cultural relevance. It mm-hmm. has heart. It has story. It has all these different concepts and aspects to it. So I really feel like that it would have what it needs to win an Oscar. Will it win, though? Is the Academy ready to give a comic book movie the best picture? I'm not sure.
The answer is no. All right, moving on. We're going to go. No. It's an interesting conversation, though, right? So this is the first movie that broke the boundaries. It's the first movie that from our universe should have been The Dark Knight. I mean, I think that was when they had the five picture no, nomination thing.
Shouldn't have been The Dark Knight.
Well, you said it was a good movie, but not a good Batman movie.
Oh man, I really have to disagree with the
son here. You see how it works here. I just say things, and then he just disagrees, and then I sit back and do nothing.
I'm not a fan of the movie, so I'm just gonna give my opinion.
I have to leave the show.
I'm sorry. You literally can't get out. The way you are boxed in right now.
I would have gone for Logan over.
I would have to agree with Hassan on that
Knight.
One.
Logan over Dark Knight?
Over Dark
Knight. As the one to break the boundaries?
Knight. I would.
Way over Dark Knight. Because Logan is actually a drama. It doesn't have a lot of traits of superheroism. Nobody wears a costume. There's none of. So it can easily be considered an action drama. Whereas, you know, there's a guy dressed like a bat. He's never going to win the Academy Award. You know?
There's
a guy
costumes,
it's just nice to be nominated.
Yeah. There's no superpowers in The Dark Knight. Yes, people wear costumes, but this is New York City. People wear costumes all the time outside.
Yeah, and none of them win the Academy Award for Best Picture.
That you know of.
Fair enough. I mean, let's look at the merit of the film, right? I mean, obviously you have to go against what it's competing against as to whether or not it's worthy of that picture, and as we've kind of mentioned before, the Academy tends to go with the more artsy.
Fartsy.
I was going to say that, but I was like, that would sound silly. Thank you.
What I'm here for.
It did sound silly. But in this particular case, like looking at Black Panther, it is a majestically shot film. There's a lot of, like you say, cultural significance, but also it's a good movie. Like it's a really really good movie. Like it's solid start to finish. It kind of does transcend. You know, what you would consider a Marvel movie. If this was not a Marvel film, I feel like it would have a better shot, right?
I don't think so. Do you think it's even the best Marvel film?
I think it's top three. I put it in my top three.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Now, top three, yeah, but I don't know if it's the best Marvel movie even. So to say...
But what you just said is exactly why I think having that Marvel tag on it is the reason it's not going to win. Because... as part of a larger story, no. Look at it from a standalone piece. I mean, you would sit there and a lot of people argue Infinity War is by far like the massive, not the gentleman all the way over there, but is like the best film that Marvel's ever done or the culmination.
Infinity War.
I know you liked it, but
it's not a great movie, but I like it.
There you go. See, I knew it was there. But that's in the context of this 20 cinema, marathon we've been on,
sure.
Right? I mean, if you pull Black Panther out of the Marvel universe and just it has a solid start, middle, and end. It has a solid inciting incident. I mean, you're going into the depths of film. It's pretty good, right? I mean, it's definitely up there in terms of just a movie.
I agree. It was really well done, but I think it's still got that stigma as a superhero movie.
Yeah.
So when people mention it, they'll say it's the first superhero movie ever nominated for an Oscar, unless you count Jaws, because Chief Brody was kind of a superhero.
Sure.
But you know, otherwise...
But he needed a bigger boat.
I always liked that.
You can't be a superhero when you need a bigger boat.
I always liked that guy. Then he gets eaten by the shark.
Well, yes. Quint?
Oh, spoiler.
Yeah,
spoiler.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you ruined it.
I know.
You ruined it.
I know. The Jaws reunion tour is going on. If it's not Black Panther, what wins? Hassan, Roma. You had said Roma.
Roma, probably.
What do you guys think?
What are the other nominees? You gotta mention the other nominees.
I do.
You have Green Book.
There's Green Book. There's
Black Klansman.
There's Green Book. There's Black Klansman. There's Roma. There's also Bohemian Rhapsody. Didn't it?
Wasn't I think it? So. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's.
I think Green Book would have a pretty good chance of winning. That's getting a lot of awards and getting a lot of praise from critics.
It'll be something safe, ultimately. It'll be something safe like Roma or Green Book or something like that.
You know, the thing that makes Roma...
But I think Black Panther... Now, Do I think Black Panther will win? No. But I do think it has the odds of it winning are over 50.
I'm actually going to agree with you. I think the SAG Awards completely changes everything. And the reason being now, it broke another barrier. It won a prestigious award, something that it normally was not going to do. Now, all of a sudden, I feel like Academy Award but voters...
They might just be like, well, it won the SAG Award, so...
It might. A Star is Born is another one. Vice. And The Favorite.
It might go for that.
That's the sleeper one, I think. Roma, what I think Roma has against it, too, is it's a Netflix movie, right? I mean, that's... And so that also kind of broke barriers, too, because it's, I think, the first Netflix movie.
I'm telling
movie
you,
to be.
How I studied how the Academy like decides things, everything that we're considering is way too much consideration.
Really?
Because the Academy is just literally just takes things and puts it in a hat and shakes it around and then dumps it out. That's literally... There's more science to that than actually what the Academy does to pick its movies.
Really?
Yeah. Because I told
what
you...
What is the size of the hat?
They bet on something. They vote on something. Oh, yoy. I'm done. It's too cold.
It sounds like I'm trying to legitimately explain things.
I'm trying to give us a little weight here, and this guy's giving me...
So you're saying it's a heavy hat.
I'm going to let you twist out there, baby.
That's why he wears the sunglasses inside, see?
So you can't see my eyes roll every time.
You know, it's like when you have a good joke and you pull it off and then you try to do the sequel to it. I just tried to do the sequel to it. It just didn't work.
And then you explain it.
Yeah, I know.
So that made even triple threat.
No, that actually makes it better.
Never
now
explain.
People can, empathize
never
with
explain.
Me. No, you have to explain. You have to explain why the joke
Clint Eastwood
didn't work.
Said never explain.
Oh, well, then that just about sums it up. All right. What did you ladies think in terms of what you think is going to be the winner out of all these films, though? You had mentioned Green Book a little bit. We got 2 minutes before commercials. We're going to go down the line and we're going to pick our winners.
It's either going to be Green Book or it really could be A Star Is Born, just because that too is getting all of these awards mm-hmm. and nominations. So I wouldn't be surprised if A Star Is Born just comes out of nowhere and wins the Oscar.
Okay.
I could see Roma, and I agree with Tia. I think A Star Is Born would be not a huge surprise if that came through. Mm-hmm. It is getting a lot of recognition. Yeah. It is getting a lot of awards. And I think that it was a really great film. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Academy went with that.
Darren?
I'm rooting for Bohemian Rhapsody. It seems to be like the movie I enjoyed the most. I liked Black Panther, but I feel like they're kind of like the Astros. They're just happy to have made it to the World Series. Well, the Astros happened to win it, but that was just kind
sports
of
has
luck.
No context whatsoever on this show. Really.
Okay. You're right. They probably don't even know.
You
who
and
the
I,
Astros
you and
are.
I can talk sports, but maybe you guys can talk sports with this as well too. No, okay,
But I think some movies are just happy to be nominated.
Yeah.
Maybe Bohemian Rhapsody is happy to be nominated. I'm sure they all are, but that's the one I'm rooting for. As far as which one I think will win. Probably Roma or something that I've never seen before like that.
Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix. You can watch it right now. Do it during our show.
I probably
give
won't.
Us the review. Segment four. Hassan?
It's either between Roma or A Star Is Born. And that's because I know the Whisper campaigns on both of those have been up over about $20 million. So
yes, the follow the money, right? Mm-hmm. Follow the money. I'm actually going to say Favorite though, because I keep reading things about that movie that people just love it, critics love it, and it's one of those like sleeper films that's gonna make it the favorite. All right, when we come back, I'll tell you what's not my favorite.
You have to suffer this every week.
Punisher season 2 review. The good, the bad, the ugly. Coming up next.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Captain America, the entire movie was about how he became Captain America.
Yeah.
And also World War II is kind of cool.
Except for the Jews. They don't think World War II is pretty cool.
Okay, you're right.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We do this every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc. And we've got just a ton of Darren Sanchez drops. I think we have two.
Yes.
I think there's just two. I think there's literally just two.
That constitutes a ton.
That's a ton. Yeah. Those are very heavy.
Yeah. Take that, Pat Shan. Take that. Pat Shan will be on in 2 weeks, actually. So he's competing with you for Lord of the hosting, co-hosting, guesting. All right. We are talking. What? What are you hooing me all this whole time?
Just long stretches for jokes, man.
They're not. That's not a joke. I'm really literally trying to go through and describe what it is that Darren does when he's here. I don't even know.
You're struggling to be anecdotal. It's hurting me.
I'm struggling to be anecdotal?
It's very painful to me.
I'm struggling to be in the room with you right now. I think that's essentially what it is.
And then you're joining the back, man. All right. Everybody else is doing this.
You know what else I struggled through? It's Punisher Season 2. Season 2
was
of Punisher.
Was it really a struggle? Did you really
Netflix? I will describe to you, yes.
Had a...
Let me tell you why.
You got through it pretty quick, though. You said that
by
you
my
had...
standards, yes.
Yes, by Dolce standards.
I finished it last night. So, yes, I did. It did take
But you
a while.
Had already seen some of it, like, the week prior.
Yeah, you've so Punisher has become, over the years, my favorite comic book character. It never was. I was always like Spider-Man or X-Men or things mm-hmm. like that. I mean, that's the stuff I grew up on. But as I've gotten older, like, I can open up a Punisher book at any point, read it, and just enjoy it, and then I go on my merry way.
Kill somebody.
You would think that the makers of the Netflix show would realize that. But they continually, this is the second season in a row, that they've continually gotten bogged down in like, hey, we have to make this like a TV show and not a Punisher TV show. So I will digress. Not I digress. I will continue. Season one. Well, that's, that works for me. Season one was a great show. Was it a great Punisher show? Not really, right? I mean, it was a great episode of 24, right? It was a great season of 24. It was basically Jack Bauer.
I've never seen 24.
Oh, my God. Awesome. Oh, my God. You have homework.
I've been told.
Have you guys seen 24?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, see, okay, good. That was the shrug.
I've never seen Breaking Bad either, so let's just get
that
over with.
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
You haven't seen Breaking Bad?
No, I
saw season one of Breaking Bad.
No, now I don't watch it out of spite because everyone's like, you got to see Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
no,
it's a protest.
I'm like, well, no.
I don't watch it out of protest.
I don't have to do what you tell me.
So then season two starts out and it's the first three episodes and I'm thinking to myself, they're doing it. They're making a Punisher series. This is amazing. They introduce, John Pilgrim, badass preacher looking guy. I don't know his backstory necessarily from the comics. I don't care. I'm here. And it's putting Punisher exactly where Punisher needs to be. He is right. You know, he's messed up in a situation he didn't want to be part of. But boy, oh boy, are the bad guys in trouble now that they've roughed up the Punisher. And then for some reason, which I think it was obligation to cast because they had Madani and they had Billy Russo under contract. They're like, oh, by the way, we're gonna just pull you out. We're gonna drop you back into season one for like a good 6-7 episodes of doing, I don't know, a lot of talking, especially Billy Russo, who, you know, and he's somehow the psychiatrist is like, I guess, wanted him the whole time, and it's like, oh my God, I got to sit through this. I got to sit through, you know, all this. And then meanwhile, Pilgrim, by the end of the season, finally comes back, And I'm kind of like, all right, I'm kind of over your story now because we never got really into it. Right. And there's some crazy, what do you call, religious people who, and they have a son and he's gay, which shouldn't be a big deal now because it's 2019. I was going to say 2018. It's 2019.
It's a big deal to who it's a big deal for.
No, I understand. But I mean, in terms of story, I mean, we've seen that before, right? A cooler one would have been if it was like two mob bosses who were gay. That, I think, actually would have been pretty cool because that would have been something a little bit different, even though Sopranos sort of did it a little bit. But, you know, anyway.
The one gay mobster and Tony going to a psychiatrist was also a stigma that he didn't want people to find out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, there's angles you could play that is a little bit something different. And then he gets back to being Punisher by like the last episode, shoots everyone up, and he's shooting gang members by the end. But I had to go through. I've never hit the fast forward button in a Netflix show before. I hit it through episodes 7 through 11.
Oh, you breezed through it.
I had to. I was dying. I'm like sitting here. I'm like, if I'm in this psychiatrist's apartment one more time, like, I'm good with this. I'm good. Your thoughts?
I literally feel my blood pressure rising because...
You hide it well.
I think I watched The Punisher Season 2 maybe 3 times within the premiere weekend. I loved The Punisher. I'm not lying. I'm really not. I think I stayed up Friday night until 3 a.m. and then woke up at 7 a.m. on Saturday and just went at it. Yeah. But I loved Punisher Season 2. Punisher Season 1 was great, but it took forever to get to some final freaking bloody scenes or anything like that.
Right.
And Frank Castle is just killing people. Yes, did he kill any real main characters until the very, very end? Exactly, okay. But he was just murdering people every single episode, the bloodiest battles. There were sometimes that I had to, like, turn away. I really enjoyed it. I thought he kicked ass. I loved the relationship that he had with Amy.
I loved it too, and then
I loved
all
that. Thrown
to the side, though,
and
right?
John Pilgrim was awesome. Fun fact: he's kind of based off of the character the Mennonite in Marvel comics,
yep.
But he is an original character himself. I can't. I'm just going to ramble and keep saying I love John Bernthal as Frank Castle.
Amazing, Frank Castle.
I have to pick one criticism, I absolutely couldn't stand the psychiatrist.
Yeah.
You are right. Now, am I going to complain anytime I get to see Ben Barnes shirtless in a sex scene? No, I'm not going to. I'm sorry.
That
guys.
Was the psychiatrist's motivation.
With that.
That was Hassan's motivation for watching too.
But I didn't like her. I don't know if it's the actress or the character that they wrote for her. I just thought that it's outplayed with the whole therapist falling in love with the patient. I will agree with that.
I never saw that coming.
Yeah, I know.
But besides that, to say that it was painful and you had to fast forward.
I had to fast forward through a lot of the quiet scenes.
I don't even know you. I mean, I don't know you, but I don't even know you.
Kelly?
So I have to certainly say I liked Season 2 way better than Season 1. I thought they got straight into the action. They eliminated a lot of that internal, emotional, what am I going through in my head thing. Though Frank got the opportunity to take that father figure aspect with Amy. But my biggest qualm about Season 2 was Madani.
Oh, did you just see her? She was like, what do you mean you didn't like it?
I'm sorry, but...
That was a visual cue right there.
I know people didn't like Madani, but I saw no problem with her.
Here's why I had a problem with Madani. There was a line that she said, and I don't know it word for word, but it was something like, I'm a strong, independent woman. The writers didn't write you as a strong, independent woman at all. So none of her actions
led up to that. Also, strong, independent women don't usually say that.
I agree.
Agreed. And I think they wrote her to be a very weak character, annoying. She went through the same thing she went through season one. There was no character
progression
whatsoever. And that was my biggest problem with season two.
Darren, did you see season two yet or no?
No, I've seen it. Absolutely. I agree kind of a little bit with all of you guys. I think there's a flaw with like the Netflix formula that Marvel uses. And that I think the writers get together and they put together an outline for like 6 great episodes. And they're like, oh, shit, we got to fill 13. So then it's like, okay, how about meaningless subplot A and meaningless subplot B? And they start putting those things in. And that's why characters, you feel like the show just screeches to a halt when certain characters come on screen because it's just filler.
They're
waiting to get back.
I loved when Madani came and saved him in episode 3. I actually thought that was pretty cool. And I was like, oh, this is great. They're going to team up and they're going to take on Pilgrim. No, we got to go back to New York City for Russo.
yeah, then it came back around, and I thought Pilgrim was going to team up with Punisher to take on Jigsaw. You know,
yeah.
So it there were good moments, and I think it was the best of all the Marvel Netflix shows, just because it had that John Wick badass kind of thing going on. But there were those Netflix dragging moments, and I hated Madani too. For the very first time you see her, she's sitting next to this guy in a hospital bed, just staring at him.
Yeah,
and that's kind of ridiculous. Even if you hate the guy, just kill him or leave him alone.
Right, you know? And they tried to work it in that she was, you know, she couldn't pull the trigger. She was always trying to find someone else to pull the trigger. She was always, but I think I agree. Waste of a great actress. Waste of a good character.
The psychiatrist I found kind of annoying, but Madani was way more annoying.
In my
opinion.
I couldn't stand the therapist where she comes out in that one scene where she's like, "Didn't you ever think I had love for you?" I was like, "Who wrote this?
No, it was very poor.
Obviously a guy."
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
Probably Jeff Loeb wrote that. And he hasn't felt love in like 20 years. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Sorry, we're not going to actually ask Hassan what he thinks about the season. I put him in timeout in the corner there. No, Hassan, what are your thoughts? Are you echoing this? Are you agreeing, disagreeing?
Can you pick parts of it that you agree with?
See, I just love it. I set him up to just fail.
The greatest metaphor for how bad that season was the reveal of Billy Russo's face. Because they built that up to such an extent.
I'm like, he's got a couple scratches.
Yeah, he's got like a scratch on his nose.
Oh, now you're hotter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you have scars now. Like, yeah, great, cool
like,
scars.
Wait a minute. They even did a moment where he actually took his mask off and then drank a glass of water, but he actually turned his head away from the camera. So you wouldn't be able to see how messed up he was. So it set this, like... You know, and because of technology today, because of makeup today, they could have made him look gruesome.
CGI.
And he didn't look bad
easy.
At all.
They were supposed to do it in After Effects, and they
yeah,
just
and they just they fired the, did they the
get,
After Effects
did they get
team
canceled
before.
Like midway through filming?
Yeah.
Like did Netflix call and be like, "By the way, guys, you're canceled."
I don't know. Yeah,
like
I agree with
mustache.
Darren. I don't understand the formula. I don't understand because I mean, basically, all that could have been done in 5 episodes. They could have taken the Billy Russo stuff out and left it for season 3.
We agree. It's always bad for the show.
It would have been great if he came back in season 3. And
absolutely.
And then you'd have to reacquaint yourself with the whole thing. And then it could have actually helped since you're not so freshly acquainted with all the crap he did in the first season. You could actually more feel sympathy for him.
I agree.
But it was the Venom situation. It was the Spider-Man 3 situation where they crammed everything in. They had two basic villains.
Basically two storylines going on. But that
just
wasn't the only thing that
also
was wrong with
it. Also, if you binge it, and this just might be me, after a while, by about episode 5, you're tired of seeing him kill people. You're actually like, oh man, he's going to hit him with the barbell again.
Really?
Okay, hit him with the barbell. Okay, he's
going
to punch him in the face.
Thank God, I disagree.
He's going to roar, and he's going to punch him in the face over and over again, and he's going to win.
I just wondered how he was walking around after all the damage that he took.
That's a typical, like...
It's just done to a point where you're... I agree also with Darren that it was probably the best of the Marvel Netflix seasons.
Okay.
And I agree that it was better than season 1. I liked season 1, but season 1 was a soap opera. And it wasn't even about the Punisher. It was about the other guy and his family, mm-hmm. him getting back to his family. So at least this was all about the Punisher, and it was all about him. But it's just, I don't know. Everything that they did in the season, they had done in season 1. Everything that they accomplished by the end of it, they established the Frank Castle mythos. They established that he's a warrior that cannot sit still, that cannot not get involved.
Right.
They established everybody else around him that gets caught up in his earthquake or collateral damage.
Pilgrim and Amy were two new characters.
Yeah.
And they were both really good.
They were new characters, but they were
and they got relegated to the corner.
Yeah, they were
like
all subservient to him. You know, and it was I liked it, but it's probably good that these shows are no longer.
When we come back, the worst scene from it, and but I'm also going to agree with you on a tweet you did, but not about this Punisher. When we come back,
you're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
ding, 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 ding.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Do you know how long it's been since I've been wanting to just sacrifice all your
myself?
Beliefs
yeah,
just for the show?
To give
show?
Up all my beliefs? Well, I actually don't really have any beliefs, which is why it's been so hard for you to find out what my beliefs are to get me to betray them. I'm kind of a nihilist. I don't really believe in anything, except for sandwiches.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We're talking Punisher Season 2 review. We all agree it was the worst thing ever. We've never seen anything worse than that, and it was just terrible.
Except Tia.
We've been definitely going through a lot of it. Underwhelmed, yeah, I think, would be
don't listen
would
to
be
them,
that.
Chomper.
It was good, but it was underwhelming.
For those just joining us, we've got myself, we got Hassan, we got frequent collaborator Darren Sanchez
/ guest host,
and we've also got two wonderful ladies from Geek Vibes Nation. Why don't you just talk to our audience a little bit for 30 seconds? Give your quick bio and what you guys do, and all that fun stuff.
I'm the top writer for Geek Vibes Nation. We are kind of your one-stop shop for everything geek, DC, Marvel, movies, TV shows, whatever you want. We have it. On Sundays, we host a top 10 list, which kind of changes every single week. I'm the host, so if you want to hear my voice for about 2 hours straight, then just tune into that.
I'm surprised people want to hear mine.
And if you want to hear interviews with some really great people, writers, actors, actresses, really great place to go. I just started with Geek Vibes Nation, but I've been freelance writing for a while, so I've been in this space, and I'm happy to join Tia on Geek Vibes.
Awesome. Well, we're happy to have you as well, too. All right. This was the scene that I thought was just summed up my fiery rage at Punisher Season 2. Now, again, the first three episodes, I thought were just... awesome.
I really thought that first episode was exceptional.
Great. Exceptional.
Yeah. Right.
Like, the one thing, before I even talk about the scene, though, the one thing I don't understand, why are people afraid to do a Punisher show? Like, why are people afraid to, like, he doesn't have to have this, like, wrestling depth of, like, am I doing the right thing or am I not? Is my code broken? Is it not? Are the people close to me to get hit? No, just, he's an animal. That's what he is. Just let him loose on people. Like you said, all the...
I think that's the worry. I think
that's
they're concerned.
That's the thing, though. Humanizing, like, you know, the quote-unquote villains now is what all the shows are doing. I mean, they got to have a backstory. They have to have a redeeming factor.
You can have that with all the characters around him. Just let him be the Punisher. Yeah, and they did for three episodes.
I don't think you can have him actually be an animal through that. He's got to have some depth to him.
Sure.
If you're going to dedicate 13 hours to him.
I know.
So there's got to be a little something to him.
All right.
You got fatigued already with the violence, and now you're suggesting...
No, Hassan did. I was cool with it.
I was totally fine with it. Look, actually, nothing in that show actually beat that opening bathroom scene.
Yeah, God.
There was nothing that beat that. And that was so satisfying.
Yes.
You know? And there wasn't... They should have upped the ante from there. But it just, right. it actually kind of dropped beneath yes. that. And then it just became, literally, watch that show again and just watch how many times someone gets hit in the head with a barbell.
Yeah.
I mean, in not in just one fight, like in multiple fights, there's always, for some reason, weights around and someone gets hit in the head with a barbell or, yeah. you know, a weight. And it just became rudimentary after a while.
Even the junkyard fight at the end with Pilgrim,
there was
out of the blue. Hey,
yeah. Oh, look, I found the shovel. You know, I'm gonna hit you with this. And plus, like, how many times can you get hit in the head with a shovel?
That's a Live Free and Die Hard. Yeah.
Twice.
Live Free and Die Hard was the movie that for me started this, where basically they everyone's like superhuman. Like yeah. like that was the movie where Bruce Willis drives a truck through Kelly Yu. And then she like was, gets up.
Is
and,
that Kelly Yu?
I thought it was. Wasn't
no.
It? Oh no no. What's her name? She was in Designated Survivor too.
Yeah.
Not Kelly Yu, but
yes, he does run her over, and she's fine.
And she's fine.
Yeah.
Like she's
yeah.
fine. Like I don't. My dad and I are kind of sitting there going like, she should be dead.
Yeah.
Or at least unconscious yeah. at the very
and
least.
And then he made
right?
a whole bunch of Chinese food jokes, you know, on yeah. top of that. So well, I mean, that was just.
Well, that
know,
was just brilliant.
That was that era. We could get away with that.
Clearly. No. But the scene, actually now thinking about it, there's two scenes that were travesty. The one I was going to mention was the scene where he supposedly kills the innocent girls that happen to be in there. And he goes through like the PTSD.
Yeah,
like
hookers.
Yeah.
This is Frank Castle. He kills hookers too because they're breaking the law. Like that's his character. Like why would he be all of a sudden upset?
Yeah, but that's television morality though. You know, like you couldn't do that. You couldn't have him do that because... That's the problem with doing a Frank Castle thing. In our age of giving three dimensionality to all our villains, every time he just comes along and arbitrarily kills one, yeah. he actually seems more and more like the bad guy.
Yeah.
So naturally they have to keep him on an even keel where
evil
he's like
is a point of view.
Yeah. That's what my mom kept telling me, but you know, I still kept sacrificing those goats. But
they had it coming. They looked at you funny.
Like the goats. What are goats doing in the
Bronx?
Look,
it's your mom's fault. She moved next to a petting zoo. Like, yeah, what are you going to do? You know, they're right
that's there. How I looked at it. You didn't want me to sacrifice these goats.
This
we would not be on
by
a
the
farm.
Way. This is pretend.
Right there, right? Pretend.
I never killed a goat.
The other question, too, was like the hospital scene to me was also one of those things where it's like, how are just people getting to Frank Castle so easily? Like, everything's happening, and then you have... You know, you have your obligatory Deborah Ann Wool, appearance from Daredevil. Like,
visit.
She's got to be there.
Hello.
She's like, well, I got nothing to do now because Daredevil's canceled. Yeah. So I figured I'd just drop
and
by.
I sort of love Matt Murdock, but I also sort of love Frank
yeah,
Castle.
Yeah, I know. And sort he sort of
well,
loves
have you seen
her.
Those two guys? I mean, geez, how can a girl choose? I'm just sorry.
I guess so.
Just going to disagree with everything you guys said yeah, this whole yeah. entire show.
The other major problem with it, although... You know, it's like I've never seen New York that empty. Every time there was a gun battle, there was like one pedestrian. Yeah. Like, oh no, guns, run away!
No, they got. They got canceled halfway through. Yeah. They're like, your extras budget is over. Yeah. You've got no room.
They were down like by the UN, and no one was on the streets.
Yeah,
and then, you know, bullets flying all over the place. Not one, you know, one accidental casualty. Nothing.
Yeah. No one dies. No one dies. It's Disney.
Well, yeah, plenty of people
everyone,
die.
Everyone who dies had it coming.
Yeah, exactly. everybody had exactly. had license to die.
So T, I know you vehemently agree with us. Clearly, yeah. out of all this, and here's the thing: all of this criticism actually comes from a place of love. I love this character. I love what they were almost gonna do with him in the season, and they completely pulled the rug out. You tweeted something though that I wholeheartedly agree with.
Okay.
Which is you just tweeted a quote from what might be the best Punisher ever.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the 1986 or 87? What was it, 87?
With Dolph Lundgren?
Dolph Lundgren Punisher.
I thought it was 89.
It was 89. It was in the
probably
80s. 89. I was really, really young.
It's in the 80s. It's 89.
And what was the quote? It was...
Something along the lines of, what do you call killing 125 people within 5 years? And Frank Castle goes... Work in progress.
And it was just that to me right now is still like the ultimate Punisher representation adaption. Disagree? Agree?
I want to say really quick that if you saw there was like a little bit of a discussion there mm-hmm. where it's like that was 125 people within 5 years. I'm pretty sure within the Netflix like realm that this Punisher has killed that in like 6 months.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. No, absolutely. I mean,
yeah,
just
blew
like...
away a room full of kids in the at the in the last. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there were at least 20 people in that room when he he came with the two machine guns.
He's
so.
Got a quota.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was he's trying to beat Dolph Lundgren in this record.
Yeah. Well, that's
I think he's got him beat.
That's the thing too. It's funny we mentioned it, right? There's trying to adding three dimensionality. I'm going to make that up and or butcher that. I'm really tired, guys. I'm just going to let you know. I'm running on fumes.
He's got two kids.
Yeah. Oh yes, man, it's crazy. Yeah. But at no point do I really ever. I want to hear out of Frank Castle's mouth like I'm here to kill. You know, like it's so definitive in the comics. I'm here to kill criminals. If you're a criminal, it doesn't matter, you know, what you do. If you break the law, you break the law. And he never.
I guess they're trying to point out that he got to that point by the end of this season.
Yeah, well, right. So which was
for
at least
season
a redeeming...
three that will never happen. Right. You'll get exactly the Punisher that want.
These were kind of the origin story of of him.
The long drawn out 26 episode long.
I know.
He kind of got to that part though in Daredevil season two where he was saying to Matt that he puts people down and he takes pride in it.
Yeah.
That no part of him. And then even I'm so sorry, but
no,
even
you're right.
When Madani says in season two of The Punisher, like, oh, Billy went and killed that old man, he's like, I don't freaking care. The guy was a pedophile. Screw him.
Yeah.
You know? So we got like little bits of pieces of it.
Punisher in Daredevil was actually closer to Punisher than anything else, right? Because they didn't have to build a world.
That's a playoff of Daredevil.
Yeah.
There wasn't that counterbalance for him in this show where you can show his morality and show.
Or you have to show his morality.
They kind of forced his morality by with the prostitutes getting killed. And, and when he found out that he didn't actually do it, suddenly he's okay. You know, it's like they're still dead. You know,
I will say that. I did cry during that scene. that whole end of episode 10 with then Curtis like holding the soldier in his arms, dying. Right, I really like Curtis too.
I love Curtis.
Like
bring him back
guy.
In season 3.
Curtis
though.
Was great.
Bring him back in season 3.
Oh my god, it would be so amazing. Can you see him and he'd actually be happy? And then Frank Castle, of course, would knock on his door and he'd be like, "God damn it, Frank."
He'd have to die. Like, he would have to. Like, you don't want him back in season. No, but I'm just saying they should have brought Curtis. They should have brought Madani. They should have brought Billy Russo all back in season 3. You took the words out of my mouth when all of a sudden we're pulled back there. I'm like, or make it, you know, at least give us 6 straight episodes of the John Pilgrim story. Because you could have actually done that straight through, resolved it, and then maybe midway through Billy Russo comes back. And
they should just be
10
episodes.
Everything.
Every Marvel season should be 10 episodes. They would make great seasons with at least maybe 3 episodes less.
Yeah, Iron Fist season 2 definitely benefited from the whole 10 episode, you know, kind of structure. Which I had heard that's
didn't
what they want.
Didn't redeem it, but...
I liked Iron Fist Season 2 a lot better than Iron Fist Season 1. Obviously, it had so many problems.
The problem with Iron Fist
better.
Season 2 was that there wasn't Iron Fist Season 1. Yeah. that's the biggest problem with it. But it was a better show.
Yeah.
It was better constructed.
Yeah. So
a better showcase.
I threw this out on Facebook, yay or nay to Punisher Season 2. We've kind of expressed we were all nay against it, and that's just final. That's it. It's been done. But I did get a great comment from Greg Matisoff from Bad Coyote Fucky. He thinks John Bernthal should be the next Wolverine. What do you guys think when we come back?
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Vision for the film and decided to part ways.
Yeah, that's one of those things where these guys showed up really late to this meeting and they were drunk and they were throwing cake around and we decided to get them out of the building. That's kind of the creative differences.
Or
I might be speaking from personal.
That was your bad experience.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We do this every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc, and streaming live, youtube.com/secretsofthesire, facebook.com/secretsofthesire. We've had a packed house, but luckily we've had a lot to talk about. Before we go to Spin the Racks, which is our weekly news segment, Greg Matisoff, Bad Coyote Funky Podcast, go check them out. They stream live on Twitch every Thursday night around 10 o'clock, which I'm in bed by then because I'm old. I really am. It's sad. He actually threw it out there. And I guess, Tia, you're saying this is something people have been throwing out there a lot. John Bernthal should be the next Wolverine. He is pint size compared to a lot of folks on screen. He would make the perfect Wolverine. He would solve the Hugh Jackman height issue.
Yeah.
And he's got that, you know, that whole thing. I love it. I love the idea of him being the next Wolverine. What do you guys think?
I could definitely see it. He grows a great beard.
That's right.
Some people have pitched Tom Hardy, which I wouldn't mind as well. But John Bernthal, if they wanted to throw him in, I think he would do an amazing job. He would embody it just as well as maybe even better than Hugh Jackman would.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be a great choice if he wanted to dive back into like a Marvel comic book type of role.
Chris Evans, right? He was Human Torch. Then he was Captain America.
Tried a different role.
He did it, right? Darren, did you see John Bernthal as the next Wolverine? With Fox coming over, what do you think?
I think he'd be perfect. He's a great actor. He's got great attitude, which Wolverine has, and which Hugh Jackman really doesn't have. He comes across as a really nice, good-looking guy, and that's not really Wolverine.
Yeah.
But Hugh Jackman did a great job for, 10 years or however long it was. But,
20 right now, right?
But, like 17.
Yeah.
17
years.
Well, John Bernthal, though, he'd do great.
He'd kill it, right?
I don't think he's pints. He's like an inch taller than me, so he's huge. Well,
compared to Hugh Jackman, that's tiny. Was like 6'4".
That's awesome. That is really great. Hassan doesn't make me laugh like that. Go ahead, Hassan. Real quick, Bernthal,
no.
Wolverine?
No.
No? No. Who's your Wolverine?
Probably Tom Hardy is better. Is a better idea. The only reason why Bernthal can't be Wolverine is because he's the Punisher.
No, not
the
anymore.
MCU
not
has
anymore.
Nah, he's the Punisher in the MCU.
That's true. That's true.
I liked Hugh Jackman.
No, I
because
think
I was
liked
a huge,
him.
huge Wolverine fan, and when I saw Hugh Jackman, I was like, that is not Wolverine. That's never gonna work.
Right. Six foot three Wolverine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then 3 minutes in, I'm like, Wolverine. Wow. Welcome, Wolverine. And so I mean I guess I can't claim that anybody else would be any better or worse at the role until you actually see them.
Yeah.
Right. And I think Heath Ledger taught us that, right?
Yeah.
But I just cannot see him being replaced. I think he's added so much nuance to that role that whoever comes up after him is going to be doomed to be constantly compared to Hugh Jackman.
I think the whole X-Men team will be different, so that Wolverine will have that benefit of not being the only new cast person. And if you'll remember, when Hugh Jackman came out as Wolverine, he was going up against like 6'9" Tyler Mane, so that made him look smaller.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have a photo with Tyler Mane where I come up to like.
That guy was enormous.
Yeah, that guy. Very nice guy though.
Yeah.
I was in the green room once, and
like
he came in and there was no food left. And I saw another side of Tyler Mane. And I just left really quickly. That story really has no ending because I ran away. But basically, I felt the wrath.
You felt the wrath.
Yeah, I met Sabretooth.
All right. We do this every week. We go spin in the racks, bringing the most fantastical pop culture news around.
Spin the racks, spin the racks.
Yeah. Taking on Bill Maher doubles down on Stan Lee. So Bill Maher, to adult comic fans, I'm not glad Stan Lee is dead. I'm sad you're alive. Following the death of Stan Lee, the real-time host published an essay titled Adulting, in which he addressed his passing. America is in mourning, deep, deep mourning for a man who inspired millions to, I don't know, watch a movie, I guess. Maher's blog was met with anger by many comic fans, while Lee's production company slammed the talk show host, his comments as frankly disgusting. But then he doubled down. He went back on his show on HBO, and he elaborated more. He said, "I'm agnostic on Stan Lee. I don't read comic books. I didn't even read them when I was a child. What I was saying is a culture that thinks comic books and comic book movies are profound meditations on the human condition is a dumb effing culture." And then he got subsequently slammed on Twitter even more.
Which kind of proves his point. You know.
Actually, wait. That was the whoa. You read my show notes today. That's the very next thing he said. And for people to get mad at that just proves my point. That's exactly his word for word. So is he really? I mean, is he really wrong in that sense?
He's dead wrong, but he's entitled to his opinion.
He's dead wrong on purpose because he's trying to get people that to notice too. Him and
yeah.
create controversy because it makes for better TV. And also, if he says in the first sentence that he's never read comic books even as a kid, and then the second sentence is that we're all a bunch of idiots, that doesn't really make sense because he doesn't know enough about comics to make that call. So
yeah, it was just
being controversial.
It was just designed to piss us off.
But
if you get pissed off, you're feeding into his.
But that's
his
the whole
hysteria.
Thing, right? I know. Isn't that like the whole commentary on society? Like
sure.
Well, he's not wrong about the outrage culture that we have, you know. And he's not wrong for trying to manipulate it. He's wrong about because you can't broad brush any.
Look, it's a safe audience to attack. You can't go on and say feminists suck. Okay, yeah. you can't really say that outright like that. Bill Maher picked the perfect audience to pick on because
it's not a demographic, pretty much.
Yeah, it's a very safe way to create controversy and not come out looking like an asshole.
Did you guys on Geek Vibes cover this story? Was there blogs upon blogs and comments upon comments?
There really wasn't any blogs, just more so of a Twitter post. I mean, I just don't see. What's really the point of Bill Maher wanting to attack a community of people who find interest, who find joy? Mm-hmm. You have some people who are not well in health-wise, and this is the one thing that makes them happy, and Stan Lee made them happy. The guy's dead, so why do you really have to try and go and shit on his legacy or something? Mm-hmm. I just didn't understand it. Why did you want to do that? Am I outraged? No, he can say whatever he wants. I've heard a lot worse from people who are in much higher positions of power.
Yeah.
But I just don't understand why he's decided to sit there and go, you know what? In a community that feels that this is the community where we can see representation of all races, gender, sexuality, yada, 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 I'm going to attack them. I just don't see the point of that.
Yeah, he continued at the end of
the thing.
The point
was so we could be sitting here talking about it.
I know.
Yeah. But I'm not going to become outraged.
I think also one of the things he was talking about, too, was the adulting culture, though. The fact that it feels like, I mean, he used some tweets as an example, like, hey, mom, I'm eating my vegetables, hashtag adulting. Or, hey, I made my eye appointment, hashtag adulting. He's like, you should make your fucking eye appointment. Like, it's not hard. It's not like this monumental achievement that you guys have done. He says you can if you want, like the exact same things you liked when you were 10. But if you do, you need to grow up. That was the point of my blog. I disagree with that. At that point, he doesn't.
Yeah, but I mean, like, look, if he wants to go around telling people how they should act, that's his business, you know? We don't have to listen to him.
Well, what's really his career? He's just on TV being outraged and getting people outraged. Right. Hashtag adulting? Come on.
Hashtag winning, I think, at that point. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's on TV. Yeah.
How many Yankee fans, back to sports, sorry, or any fan of a sports team is a fan because they became a fan when they were 10 years old because they watched it with their dad, mm-hmm. or something like that. a lot of that stuff you associate with your father or your big brother or that sort of thing. And that's why you got into it. And so there might be some connection to that for you. So,
well, it's funny you mentioned that. David Keel, former Wizard employee as well, too, actually chimed in on the post that I put up there. And he said that exact thing. He's like, Bill Maher's a big sports fan. Like, wasn't he into sports when he was 10 years old? Like, shouldn't he grow up? Like,
sure.
You know?
And there are times in sports where I think it's stupid that I actually care what these guys
bite your tongue
do. But I do. I'll stay up just to see if the Astros won.
Yeah. I cared how Luke Skywalker was depicted. So, I mean, I can't claim any super maturity. But I just, I don't know. Like, he was depicted very badly, though.
Yes, it's a whole different show.
Yeah, but you can't get, I don't know. Bill Maher's, who's Bill Maher? I mean, I know who he is. I've watched his show. I enjoy his show. But yeah. So he doesn't like comic books and comic book people. He doesn't like religion either. He's been telling me that God doesn't exist for 20 years. You know, so I'm going to get outraged that he's mocking Wolverine.
See, that you wouldn't get outraged about, but then, you know.
That's what I'm saying. If no
call one, Batman stupid, and then we got problems.
And that's why I'm saying he might have a point, because this is not nearly the most controversial thing he's done or said. You know, and then people are coming like, well, what about this? Or what about you do this? And, it's the adoption of the whataboutisms and whatever. Just don't listen to him. You know, just ignore him. Don't watch his show. We're safe.
Take your advice and watch ours instead. This was fun, guys. Yep, packed house. Good stuff. We all agree. Punisher season 2 bad. Black Panther will win it all. Bill Maher is stupid. Next week. Well, we'll figure something out.
We accomplished nothing.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.